Hi there, and welcome to our podcast, Mindfulness at Work. I'm Cara Pollard.
And I'm Beth Miles.
We're here to talk about how and why life works.
Or at times when it doesn't.
We'll discuss all kinds of topics that affect us and that either encourage or even get in the way of mindfulness.
We believe every relationship is improved by being mindful, especially the relationship with yourself.
Mindfulness at work. It all starts right here.
This episode of Mindfulness at Work is brought to you by the Genesis Foundation for Children, an organization that supports the whole child during the time of rare disease or genetic disorder diagnosis. Their funding and services offer a holistic approach that is directly in line with the mission of Cara Pollard Coaching. We are thrilled to have their support. Find out more about their incredible work at www.genesisfoundation.org. So hello and welcome to the Mindfulness at Work podcast.
I am your host, Cara Pollard.
And I am another host, Beth Miles.
And we welcome you, Carlotta Nelson. Carlotta is a producer, director, and she recently released, I think as recent as yesterday, the amazing documentary Brain Matters. And that's what we're here to discuss today. She is a screenwriter, a director, and she specializes in cross-media social impact documentaries, in art house biographies, as well as in science and educational films.
Carlotta is a member of the Academy of Cinematography, Arts and Sciences of Spain. She is a highly experienced bilingual storyteller whose documentary work has spanned global social and cultural topics, including art and apartheid in South Africa, censorship in Kuala Lumpur, and recidivism in the U.S.'s women prison population. She is also the researcher, writer, director, and promoter of the groundbreaking feature documentary that we are going to talk about today called Brain Matters. And it's a film that explores the science of early childhood, and it's become a reference within the global scientific and educational communities.
Wow.
Thank you.
That is a lot of work.
That is a lot of work, yes. So many people think film and documentary making, there's this like glamorous side to it, but really it's a lot of work, and it's wonderful work. I'm so happy I can do what I love to do.
Carlotta, can you just describe to me what exactly is the Brain Matters movie?
Certainly. Brain Matters is a documentary film about the science of the early years and what it takes for all children to reach their full potential.
And I'm sure this will happen to a lot of people when they watch the documentary. They say, well, I knew that. Mm. Or, well, I've done that too. Or I was brought up that way. But what we now have is the science to prove it. Mm. All those instinctual things that we've done as mothers or aunts or grandmothers or parents, now we know it works. And this is not a trend. It's not an ideology. It's not a philosophy. We have the scientific evidence. So now we just have to get it into the hands of not only parents, because children are in our everyday life. Everyone who is in touch with children should educate themselves in today's brain science.
I sometimes have to remind people that we are our brains. So if you're seeing, if you're hearing, if you're feeling, and if you're deciding, if you're thinking, if you're reading, etc., this is your brain in action.
During our early years, the brain is optimized for learning and is capable of extraordinary change. No wonder a baby brain can create more than a million new neural connections every single second. They say practice makes perfect, and that is exactly what the brain does. Every time we learn or experience something new, it detects a change, and that change forms connections, which help build the foundation of a powerful brain. The connections that are not used repeatedly are lost. During the early years, when the brain is at its most active, is when the roadmap of our lives is first designed. Although change is possible as children grow, Science is proving that getting it right from the beginning is the best opportunity we have to increase our chances of happiness and success.
Yes, I was brought to tears literally at the beginning of the movie because what you just said is so true and poignant. We all know many of these things, but to actually live it and to understand that you're foundationally building a brain is what is just amazing.
I am not a neuroscientist. When I started my research, which lasted 8 months, and I did this together with Cristina Gutierrez, who's the executive director of the Genesis Foundation, who has produced this film. She has a lot more experience than I do, but since I was going to write and try to translate all the information in words that everyone could understand, I frankly have to confess I was very nervous. I would go into laboratories or speak with scientists, and they would start talking to me about epigenetics and neural pathways. And I was just very honest with them. And I said, please speak to me as if I were a six-year-old. Then I'm going to have to translate this into images and words. So immediately I set to ask a group of scientists who I was speaking with to see if they could possibly form a scientific advisory board for me, just to make sure that everything that I was writing and everything I was illustrating with images was validated by science. And I think that this is very important for people to know that this is not pseudoscience or this is not just another trend. The whole film is validated, every single word, by an international group of people who so generously spent hours and hours and hours suggesting I use one word and not another. So I'm very thankful to them because, it's not just my movie. I feel like it's all of our movie.
Mm-hmm. It's so imperative that we get this information out to parents. If you get the information, do you think it will then lead to action, Carlotta?
Well, very good question. That's the reason why we decided to release the film to the world. This is a very rare exception with a production of this magnitude. But because we first started sharing it with the community, the scientific and educational community, and the response was unanimous. Everyone must watch the film. So the producers so generously decided to gift the film to the world. Mm. But since that's not really newsworthy, unfortunately, in today's world, we decided to link it to a broader early childhood development initiative. And that is to remind global leaders to keep their promises, turn those promises into action. The campaign is geared or is targeted to the G20 leaders of the world. 2 years ago in 2018 in Buenos Aires, for the first time ever, early childhood development was not only made a high priority, but they committed to several actions to set and implement, design and implement whole system approaches. Unfortunately, last year in 2019, in Osaka, Japan, ECD was barely mentioned. Wow. So we decided to take a step forward and link our film globally to the world as a way to rally more attention politically. And hopefully we'll get enough signatures on our petition so we can actually present this to the G20 this year. Unfortunately, many donors are still falling short in their funding and in designing and implementing these whole systems approaches.
So that they can walk away from the G20, the different countries, with actionable steps that they will commit to. Is that correct?
Yes. And just to remind them that we really need to be paying more attention to this and to have financing directed to all areas of early childhood development, including quality learning, pre-primary education, which have traditionally been neglected. Mm-hmm. There's so much emphasis and money being invested in formal education. Mm-hmm. And somehow we've forgotten about the early years, when those are, I wouldn't say determinant, because everyone has the capacity to keep learning, right? Our brains are plastic. That's one of the beauties of being a human being, that we can still learn and make connections until we die. But it's easier and more effective when it's done early.
Yes. So instead of espousing test scores and reading in kindergarten and more mechanistic standards, we should really get the brain science out to the educational policy that are being adapted to show why play is actually learning. I loved how the Brain Matters documentary, you know, showed how play helps your social emotional response. It helps problem solve. It helps imaginative play. I mean, I know that if you climb trees, it actually helps your math facts a lot better than flashcards. And I think parents don't know that. I had a parent say to me in one of my classes, you know, my daughter won't sit in the circle and she won't do everything the way you're teaching it. And I said, oh no, I want her to be over in the corner. When she's over in the corner, she's still learning. She might not be sitting right here. And she said, well, I really think I need to go home and show her some flashcards. And I said, that would be the worst thing you could do. If she sees you having fun in the circle and making music and enjoying moving and loving her, that would be the best thing you could do. Please don't ever put flashcards in front of a two-year-old. You know, my child has to be reading in kindergarten. My child has to sit exactly on the circle and be an automaton as opposed to really enjoying life and thriving. And that's how through play you learn. So I think that was a very important aspect that Brain Matters showed.
Yeah.
If we used to think about play as just having fun, science and the ECD community now urges us to think again. Play in all its forms, from free self-directed play to role-playing assisted by caring adults, prepares a young brain for life, love, and even schoolwork, making play the third key experience all children need during their early years.
We look at how they first play with little blocks and turn them around in their little teeny hands, to being able to build structures that show us what they can do with words like in, around, through, under, and on, which will build the foundation for later mathematical knowledge. We look at how they play and how in those moments, what seems like just play, they're actually learning social skills of how to get along with people. They're even picking up some of the content that's going to be important to later communication, like language and reading and literacy. We're looking at how they learn to learn. In those moments of play, our kids are getting pretty smart.
I'm sure that all parents want the best for their children,
Yes. But
many don't know how. And there's so much information nowadays, web pages and blogs on parenting and books, and they are probably overwhelmed. Like, who do I listen to? That's why we have so much support from large organizations and the scientific community and educational community, because we've worked with them on this project. I would like to point to something very interesting that you mentioned, is every child is unique. Mm. We have to get away from this like cookie cutter, like everyone sits down and everyone does this, because not all children learn the same way. Mm. And if your child is taking a little longer to read or a little longer to speak, every person has their own personality, their own way of learning. That's why it's so critical to have accessible, inclusive early childhood programs that have teachers with fewer children, so they can really tap into that uniqueness of each child, so they never lose the passion for learning.
Right, because as you say, they need to individuate each person. That's how I coach. I'm not a parent coach, because I'm a better parent than anyone else. In fact, that's kind of why I'm a parent coach, because it wasn't as easy and natural as I thought it would be. So what I learned from being coach and what I learned from my training is that every individual parent has a different way of interacting with every individual child, and that by getting to know who your child is and by getting to know who you are, that's how you formulate how to parent in that particular situation. And that's why I believe that support for all all parents is so imperative and necessary so that they could raise a child in the way that the child is meant to be raised.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, and to me, there seems like there's a component of this, and certainly education is imperative, and knowing all of these nuances of how we do bring out the best in our children. But it takes me back to what you said about how when you watched some of this, how you thought, well, I did that, you know, or I was like that with my child. And I think Cara and I had that conversation, like we spoke to our children. We both have children around the same age and they're teens now. But I think there's a beauty in imagining, like, we all bring some instinctual knowledge to these children that we have them and we're so excited and we love them. And so it brings a certain something. It's some fine balance of trusting those instincts,
yes,
but then shoring yourself up with the science behind it that helps to guide you through those instincts. Because at some point you get stuck with generational learning about parenting. And then I know for me, I even had the classic in-law who said I held my baby too much, or things that you were like, I was holding her because I saw a positive result of that, where my mother-in-law would feel like, well, I was making her too needy. And so it's the science that helps you balance those generational ideas, right? And form your instinct and help you to become that confident parent that we so often are struggling to be, either through exhaustion or too much input or for all of those reasons, right? So I think it's wonderful, Carlotta, what you're providing, what Cara is doing to help parents along the way. You know, there's early childhood education, and then those children continue to grow and, you know, shift and become, go through different phases all along the years, right? So how do you just continue to inform parents to be the best they can, right? Yeah.
And also something very, very interesting that the Center on the Developing Child at Harvard is studying and has been studying, and on their website, it's explained a lot better and in depth, are the intergenerational effects of good parenting. When a parent can provide and has the support they need to raise their child in the way that the brain expects them to, that has an effect on the parent. Makes them think, oh, well, you know, I brought up this child this way. Maybe there's something I can do for myself, right? Mm. I think that when parents or caregivers or early childhood providers teach children how to regulate, right? Mm-hmm. These soft skills that we were talking about earlier, self-regulation, executive function, they're also learning that too. And so there's many benefits to actually doing it, not just for the child, but for yourself and for the community.
I think what you're saying is I learn to be a better person by having to be a parent, because when I'm asking my child not to flip out and then I flip out and I'm not regulating, I can kind of, you know, school myself and say, well, I can't even keep it together when I'm driving in traffic, and yet I'm asking her to keep it together. Or even when I'm with my parents, you know, I think you revert to your role as a daughter, even though I'm, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when my mom or, you know, somebody starts, you know, acting in a certain way and we all go back to revert to our family roles, I think to myself, and I've coached my clients this, do not let them get in your brain and take the elevator down to that low brain state. Stay in your high brain state no matter what. So you're really calling yourself and you're being self-aware as to how you want to be. And you can get that way through learning by contrast with your own children, by meditating, and maybe by singing a song loud in the car, or all kinds of things that we encourage our children to do, we can still do for ourselves and still learn every day, even as adults. So
yes, yes.
Do you see the day when this information, the idea that you leave the hospital with your new baby, you have all this information about breastfeeding, swaddling, why not information on emergent brain and how you make the best of your newborn child and their developing sense of self?
So we've been working with hospitals here in Spain, which is where I'm based. So they're going to start gifting the link to our film and the resources to all new parents, which is just, it makes us just so happy. Mm-hmm. So as soon as this trial is done and we've retweaked it and and improved in any way we can, we'd love to start sharing it with hospitals around the world, pediatricians, clinics, even health insurance agencies, to get the film into the hands of parents.
So I think that it becomes part of their postpartum care package as opposed to an afterthought. It becomes one of the most prevalent things that we do for new parents. You know, I think that a lot of women go through Lamaze. They do learn how to change a diaper, perhaps get some breastfeeding education, and then they leave the hospital and no one told them that they're actually supposed to keep a baby alive. And I think it's pretty scary. So to have this information and education, I think might boost parental confidence and of course, you know, result in some wonderful benefits for the brain of an infant. But I think it would really help to boost confidence amongst parents leaving the hospital.
The thing with parenting, although it's one of the most difficult and beautiful and rewarding jobs in the world, there is no university to learn how to parent. But at the same time, there's internet is full of parenting blogs and suggestions. I think that parents nowadays that actually want to learn and read about early childhood have so much information that it could be overwhelming.
Maybe it's a good way of thinking about your program also. The Brain Matters is kind of the base of the foundation of all of this. It doesn't necessarily have to be a philosophy. It's more the science of raising children. Yes. And then you could still put on top of it, if you wanted to do attachment parenting, on top of engaging your child in a way that makes them a more prepared future citizen of our of our world, or a current newborn citizen of the world, by looking at doing the things that matter to their brain and how we help them to develop into amazing human beings. You can still think about philosophies of parenting on top of that. Would you agree?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, we haven't invented anything with brain matters. Right. Because, you know, if you go back to, I mean, Piaget, he wrote about most of these things in the 19th century. There's been decades of science and a whole army of people all around the world who work nonstop trying to help children in the world and help parents. We've showcased their work and translated the science, that sometimes scientists have a difficult time doing that, and just showcasing their work and the latest neuroscience, you know, as a way to create further awareness. So what we've done is really support the work of the early childhood development community worldwide.
Well, we can't thank you enough for doing it. We think it is, as Beth said, the foundation, because the brain does matter. And I love how you said you didn't invent anything. It's all there. It's all accessible. It's what the brain does. We just haven't seen it in such a comprehensive way that you've actually done it here in Brain Matters with all the resources. And so we really can't thank you enough. We're so excited about the film and getting out into the world in every aspect.
Thank you for listening to Mindfulness at Work. If you felt inspired by our conversation, we hope you'll share our podcast with your friends and colleagues.
So we'd love to have your feedback, your comments, your questions. We'll certainly address anything that you'd like us to. So please contact us. We love hearing from you. Also, we have sponsorship packages, corporate support packages. We do executive coaching, team coaching, couples coaching, because we believe mindfulness really does work.
Don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on all the ways Kara Pollard Coaching and Mindfulness at Work transforms lives.